This morning is a very short one. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 44 through to verse 46. The fourth in our series of Sundays looking at Jesus' parables in this chapter, parables of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13 at verse 44. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Amen, and may God bless to us the reading of his word. So to the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also." And when Jesus told this parable to the disciples and to the crowd that was listening, pressing up against him that day, he was in a sense making that point, where your treasure is, there is your heart. Because time and time again throughout his ministry, Jesus went straight to the core of what people's values were. The heart is, in the kind of language of the Bible, the heart is where we make our decisions. It's where our emotions are, if you like, turned into action. It's the seat of what makes us decide where we commit our time, where we commit our energy, what we commit our money to, what we become creative and imaginative over. It's a question of values, of what is important to us. And it's as crucial a question for us as it was for those that Jesus put it to during his ministry on earth. It's a crucial question which relates to every day of our lives, every day of those who are close to us, whom we affect by our decisions. It's a decision, it's an area of life which even through the rest of this day will be determining to some extent the kind of people we are at home, with friends, even in church. What are our values? What's important to us? And what Jesus is showing in this parable is that the kingdom of God is in a sense the object, if we can use the word object, of supreme value. There is nothing at all, as far as Jesus is concerned, of greater value than the kingdom of God. Now, we were thinking last week about what exactly that kingdom is. That kingdom is his kingship acknowledged. It's not so much a territory with borders. It is a sovereignty bowed before. A sovereignty acknowledged in daily living. Christ himself, the King, is the object of supreme value for the individual. Jesus here is not addressing whole nations. He isn't pressing home a point to congregations even. He's pressing home a point to individuals. And so he talks about two individuals, the farmer and the merchant. And in each of the parables that are put together here, there are the same three elements. There is a finding of the treasure that was hidden, of the pearl of great value. There is a right recognition of the value of what is found. And then third, there is a willing, even joyful surrender, of everything else in order to obtain what has been found. The finding, the recognition of the value, and the willing surrender. And that's how we're going to unpack these two parables this morning, and how we're going to apply them to ourselves. First of all, the finding. And we should note that when Jesus talks about these two people, they find this treasure, this pearl, in different ways. Someone suddenly comes upon it, a farmer out in a field. It's not even his own field. Would happen to be going through that field, and suddenly, right as it were, out of the blue or out of the earth, he finds this treasure. Without realizing that he was going to be finding it that day. Maybe never even thinking to himself, oh, wouldn't it be smashing if I found some treasure in a field. Quite unlooked for, uncalled for, unbidden, this treasure found him, the farmer. There were those who heard the word from Jesus without realizing that that word and that Jesus were what they had been needing all their lives. They suddenly saw him. Without realizing they were hungry, they suddenly knew that they were starving. Without realizing they were poor in spirit, they suddenly saw their poverty. Without realizing that they needed Jesus, they were suddenly, right out of the blue, one day listening to him, perhaps just a casual onlooker, brought to realize that they needed him more than anything or anybody else. And many have become Christians in this way. Many have discovered the kingdom, found the kingdom in this way. Just happened to be passing a church, thought they'd go in, listen to a word being preached by a preacher from the Bible. And that day made the change. In conversation with a friend, that friend happened to mention that they'd become a Christian. Happened to mention the help that they had received from God himself. Happened to mention something about what Jesus meant to them. The difference that Jesus made in their lives. Didn't go on about it, didn't shove it down their throats, but mentioned it. And suddenly that sparked something off. Suddenly they realized that the something that they were looking for in life had to do with this person, Jesus. That's what it's like for some. But then there was the merchant, looking long and hard and with a discerning eye. Somebody who was searching for something, searching for these pearls. And pearls in New Testament days were the equivalent of our diamonds, the thing that was most precious. Looking long, looking hard, travelling, wanting to find, looking with a discerning, critical eye, appraising everything that he came across. And one day, that long, long search was ended. One day the search was over. And in some far off place, somebody held up the pearl to end all pearls. And he knew then that all his traveling days were ended. He had found it. And that's like it is for some. Searching for something. Searching for someone to make sense of life. To bring some meaning into their existence. Someone who could bring forgiveness. Somebody who could bring that sense of being accepted. Somebody who will come to them with a love which is totally faithful. With a love that will not just use them and then discard them, but with a love that will go on being selfless and true all their days. There are so many people, even today, who are searching. They know that this materialistic Western set of values can't be what it's all about. There has to be something more. than buying another car, getting another house, getting a replacement dishwasher that looks so much nicer than the other one. There has to be something more than wearing a Rolex or whatever. And so many turn to different things to find it, and they don't. And yet so many of those, or some of those, happen to hear the word, happen one day to find Jesus in all their searching, and they know that their travelling days are done. They've found the one. Sure, they had some truth in their common sense approach to life. They had found some grain of truth in other religions and other philosophies that they had looked at and gone into. But when they found Jesus, they knew that they had found the answer to all their searching. The finding. There were some who had listened to Jesus that day, part of the crowd, who listened to him and who saw him and who valued him little. Almost anything meant more to them than this man and his kingship. They would look at Jesus and walk away. They would see nothing in him. Like people looking at a great painting and walking away with no recognition whatsoever of its greatness and its value. In fact, there will be people listening to Jesus that day who would shout, "Crucify him," later on. But there were others who did see the value. There were others who saw the greatness of this man. There were others who listened and they heard. They looked and they saw. They saw that he was the king to be followed. They saw the kind of thing that Paul talks about in his letter to the Ephesians or his letter to the Colossians, where he talks about Christ being of surpassing greatness, of a value to which there is no equal. And still some see and others don't. Has anyone ever shown to you what there is in this kingdom? Has anyone ever shown to you this Christ? Have you ever shown him to anybody else? Here is one who can bring such riches. One who can bring forgiveness of sin. One who can bring peace with God and peace within in this troubled, troubled world. Here is somebody who can actually bring a new start. Here is somebody who can wipe the slate clean. Here is somebody who can give us what we need to live the kind of life that we want to lead. Here is somebody who not only calls us to live a certain way, but empowers us to live that way. Here is somebody who loves us, and as I said a few moments ago, whose love will never simply use us and then discard us. Here is somebody who will be faithful. Here is somebody who will love us without ever using that love as a lever to get things from us. Here is somebody who listens when nobody else does, to whom we can turn with things that we would share with nobody else, and who can help. Here is somebody who has eternal life, who has conquered the grave, who shares with us that hope of a life that will go on forever with him. Not a kind of endless life like this one, which for some people is a vision of hell, but the perfect life with God, transformed, freed from all that ruins and all that spoils. Here is one who has riches that money cannot buy, and who gives them freely, who gives himself freely to us. Have you ever seen him for who he is? I don't mean have you ever seen the church for what it can be. I don't mean have you ever seen what a lovely building we have here, or what fine people come to church. I mean, have you seen him? Because always Christ confronted people with himself. With himself. Well, the farmer and the merchant found the pearl, and they recognized its value. They recognized that in this was everything they had been looking for. In this was so much more than what they had ever had up until that day. And so the third thing was that each of them sold willingly everything they had to obtain the field with the treasure in it and the pearl. Jim Elliot was a missionary, an American missionary. He and four others were trying to share the gospel with a group of Indians in South America, the Alca Indians, in the early 60s. All five of them were killed by those Indians. Their wives and others later took the same gospel back to those Indians. And those Indians were converted, not transformed into little Americans, thankfully, but they found a savior. Jim Elliot, who was leading the five original missionaries, said this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Augustine was a great sinner. He knew everything about sin. He had hands-on experience of what depravity was like. And one day, he was searching and heard a voice over the garden wall talking about Jesus. And that day he became a Christian. And later on, when he wrote his Confessions, he said, "It was joy to cast away what I had once feared to lose. It was joy to cast away what I had once feared to lose." The Apostle Paul, oh, a great Hebrew, zealous, keen, full of self-righteousness, a man who could compare himself with the best and win. And he said this: "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That's the value of the Savior. And Jesus wanted people to see exactly the same thing as Jim Elliot and Augustine and Paul had seen. Matthew chapter 16, from verse 24, he says this: "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul?" The farmer and the merchant joyfully surrendered everything else they had to gain that pearl, that treasure. Now there is an irony at work here, a strange irony which turns things on their heads. You see, woven into the point about what the merchant and the farmer did to gain that pearl and that treasure is the point that discipleship costs. If we want Christ, if we want him in our lives, if we recognize that he is the one of all surpassing value, then it's going to cost us to have him. It's going to cost us some of the things that we do, because he comes in and he is the king to whom we submit. It's going to cost us some of the things that we do which we know are wrong, and we're just going to have to give them up when he comes in. It's even going to cost us some of the things which aren't wrong but which aren't the best when he comes in. It's going to cost us for him to enter our lives, for us to enter his kingdom. We have to let go of things. There is a surrender, yes. We all have to let go of our own self-righteousness. We have to let go of our do-it-yourself, get-yourself-right-with-God campaigns. Maybe we have to let go of too much alcohol. Maybe we have to let go of the way we spend our time. Maybe we have to let go of some friendships. Maybe we have to let go of some of our language. Maybe we have to let go of some of the relationships we've got ourselves into. There are some things that it will cost us. But here is the irony. What the farmer had was nothing compared to the treasure. What the merchant had was nothing compared to the pearl he found. There are things which it seems to us are things of such value. We value them so greatly. We spend our time, our effort, our money on them. They engage our creativity and our imagination. And yet they are yesterday's treasures. And when we see this day the treasure of this king, we will see these others as of no great value. Yesterday's treasures are sold off. Yesterday's treasures were worth little or nothing to the farmer or the merchant. It seemed to others, and the day before he had found that treasure, and the day before he had found that pearl, it would have seemed to the farmer and the merchant like a great cost to them. But it seemed to others like a high price to pay. And it may seem to others like a high price to pay to follow Jesus, to submit to his kingship. But when we see him, it is no great high price at all. Willingly, eagerly, we surrender all. Some of those farmer's friends must have thought he was a nutter, must have thought he was strange, must have thought he had suddenly gone, somehow or another, odd. Very strange what's happened to Fred. Did you hear about it? He sold everything he had to buy that field down there, and just look at the field. No one has been farming that field for years. Did you hear about Arthur? Sold his business, sold his transport fleet, sold all his retail outlets, sold everything. Seemed very odd. But to them, no price at all. Jesus may call us to give some things up. He will call us to give some things up to follow him. And living in the kingdom, if we've been in that kingdom for many years, is really no different from entering it in this regard. But what we give up is nothing compared to what we gain. If we have seen Christ for who he is, then nothing, nothing will seem more important to us. Now take that out to the people that you will be moving amongst this coming week. People whose lives are, for all we know, crying out for this treasure. People who have a deep, deep, aching need for this Christ. See yourself this week going out with the treasure that they need, with the pearl that they are searching for. Will you hold it back from them? Will you bury it again? Will you keep the pearl under the shelf and under the counter? Or will you share it? And that sharing may be part of the cost that we have to pay within the kingdom. Maybe it will cost us, we fear, a bit of our credibility. But it's worth it. Christ is the one of all surpassing value. Is he of all surpassing value to you and to me? And will you show him for who he is to the people that you meet this week who need him? God grant us the grace to submit to the King. We're going to sing hymn 254. And it's really particularly the last verse that I chose this hymn for. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. When we see him, we will give it all. Hymn 254.